And it's from Acts chapter 11. And you can find this, if you want to follow it in the church Bibles, you'll find it on page 1105. Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Now Martin's going to come and give us God's word.
Thank you, Judy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us, we pray, by your word. Give us ears to listen to what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a bittersweet day, a weekend, isn't it, for us all? It's been lovely to dedicate Olivia to the Lord this morning. But it's also the Collard's last day with us. No longer will Nick be leading us in sung worship and working with our young people here. Nick is taking a new role in Marlow, and we pray for great blessing on him, his family, and everyone in his new church. Change and movement has always been part of following God. Abraham was called to move. Moses was called not only to move, but to move a whole nation. Jesus' last command was go. Sometimes change and movement is forced upon us. The early Christians in Judea and Jerusalem were scattered by persecution. Sometimes change and movement is something we choose, although that may have implications for others, such as children who don't choose it. When I was 13, I lived with my family in a village in Staffordshire. My father felt called to a new parish in London. And when we were told that we were going to this big, scary city, my first reaction was, oh no, and I burst into tears. I didn't want to go. However, if we believe and trust in God, then change and movement, whether it's chosen or not, whether the circumstances are happy or sad, is always a means by which God can do something new to further his kingdom purposes. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, change and movement is one of the means by which the answer to this prayer comes about. Moving to London had its challenges for me. At the age of 13, I spoke with a broad Brummie accent. I used to get teased. I dropped that pretty quickly. But there were also new opportunities. I met new people who helped me in my faith. I was part of a large youth group of over 40 young people at the church. One evening, we had a new member of our church come and give testimony. His name was Richard Collard. And over 40 years later, I'm dedicating his granddaughter, Olivia, and saying goodbye to his son, who I've worked closely with for 10 years. I never would have thought that, as I think I was only about 14. It hadn't been long that we'd moved to London, and Richard came from Yorkshire and had a testimony to share about how he'd come to the Lord, and I remember that to this day, and how encouraging that was. Our circumstances might change, but our God is unchanging. And God can tie up the loose ends of our lives. He can weave something beautiful from what might appear to us to be just a tangled mess. Acts 11 verse 19 tells us that those who were persecuted following on from Stephen's martyrdom, what a tragic event that was, these were scattered as far as Cyprus. We know where Cyprus is in the Mediterranean, just off the coast of Lebanon and Israel. Phoenicia, they also went to. That's where Lebanon is today. And Antioch, that is a city in what is now Syria today, an important city then. And in their new environment, they shared the gospel. Their forced relocation created an opportunity for them to explain to others the hope that they had despite their circumstances. People were curious about why they had had to travel so far, and they learned that the reason was that their first loyalty was to a man they claimed had risen from the dead and was the Son of God. And the fact that they'd had to travel because of their faith no doubt lent credibility and power to their testimony, and people came to the Lord. However, generally, these Jewish believers told the message only to fellow Jews. And that seems a little bit disappointing, given that last week we heard the wonderful story how Peter was called in a vision to not to consider anyone unclean, but to go to the house of a Gentile, and not only a Gentile, but a Roman centurion, a member of the oppressive forces of empire that held Israel and other places in subjugation. But he was told he should go and make no distinction, just as if a Jew had asked him to go to his house to explain the gospel. And then people in Jerusalem criticized Peter when he was in Jerusalem. But he gave the story of what had happened and said the Holy Spirit came upon these Gentiles. They were told by an angel to come and get me, and I shared the gospel, I baptized them. And then they had no more objections. They said, so then, the gospel is even for the Gentiles, even for the Greeks. The word Greek used to really describe anyone who wasn't a Jew because of the prevalence of Greek culture in that time. Now, interestingly, there were some men, though, it says in